Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 17. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 17. 1, 5, 17. Tyaktvaswadharamam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakvotha patet tato yati yatrak vava bhadram abhudamushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in the immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound, not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil, in his early life, was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end. Jatva swadharamam charanam bhujam haraya bhajanda pakvota patet tato yadi yatrak vava bhadram abhudamo shakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. In this verse, as in many in Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of bhakti, pure devotional service, are described. Here in this verse it is implied that even a little bhakti is worth or is better than much pious activity or following of what is called dharma. Although dharma is very difficult to precisely define, it is central to the way of life. I think you should move over. Mahaprabhu, Gaur, Das, Prabhu. Move over a little bit more this way. It is central to the manner of life which is described in Mahabharata, Ramayana, and all the Vedic literatures. It's translated as religiosity, righteousness, etc. In other words, better than being good is to surrender to Krishna. And even if one is engaged in devotional service but is not good from the worldly point of view, he's better situated than one who is good from the worldly point of view but not a devotee of Krishna. Sometimes we hear devotees say that, well, you know, the karmis, the non-devotees, they're much better behaved than the devotees. They're not. It's not possible. Even if in some features of their behavior they appear to be better behaved, the very fact that their activities are not in any way directed toward Krishna automatically puts them in the category of dushkriti, or misbehaved, or rascal. It's a word Prabhupada usually used. So in this verse states that, this is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva had written so much extolling dharma, but nothing systematically extolling that which is beyond dharma, or which is the actual dharma of surrendering to Krishna. So Narada Muni here states that even if you make a start in bhakti, but you don't go the whole way, you stumble along the path, or you're not successful fully in your activities of bhakti, still one is better situated than someone who is very steady and capable in performing worldly pious activities. Not only better situated, but the success of one who engages in bhakti is assured. Even if he doesn't complete the course in this lifetime, whereas for someone who's simply materially well-behaved or pious, they don't gain anything of any real value if they don't take to Krishna consciousness. There are many other verses to substantiate this. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya jati shastra chapastapa pranasyaiva dehasya mandanam loka ranjanam. Graphic example. Vivid example, as Srila Prabhupada usually said, is that of decorating a dead body with nice ornaments. It may look nice, but it's actually horrible, isn't it? Decorating a dead body with, it may seem to be very nice, but it's something actually quite grotesque. So similarly, one may have aristocracy, one may be very learned, one may be very religious, one even may be very apparently renounced from this world, not very materialistic. But if one is not a devotee of Krishna, then all these apparent good qualities are like the decoration of a dead body. Looks very nice, but if you get a little closer and examine actually what's going on, there's something very strange there. Why do you want to decorate a dead body? Just throw it out, burn it, or bury it in this country. They bury bodies right now. So in this way, the glories of pure devotional service are described. One should surrender to Krishna. That is the inherent message. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all these dharmas, all these pious activities, and surrender to me exclusively. Forget everything else. All your good ideas, even your bad ideas, forget them too. And surrender to Krishna fully. It's quite a demand, but Krishna, he makes that demand. Surrender to me. You will be fully benefited by doing so. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Now, the question may come, actually Arjuna had asked this much earlier in Bhagavad Gita. But what happens if someone, they start to perform yoga or devotional service. They want to, they go into it very enthusiastically, and, but somehow along the way they slip up. What happens to them? They already gave up all their material prospects for the sake of spiritual life, and then they messed up their spiritual life also. But Lord Krishna says, no, you didn't. You can't mess up your spiritual life. One cannot. Lord Krishna says that for one who is engaged in auspicious activities, there's no inauspiciousness, even if he falls down. Even if he falls down, the very fact that he's got onto the right path means that he won't be forgotten. The progress he's made is for his benefit, eternal benefit. Sometimes we see people come to Krishna consciousness and they take it up very enthusiastically and very quickly they get the essence of it. They take it up very seriously and they go on very well. But after some time, they go away. You say, what happened? Why did they leave? They were so fixed up, it seems. They were so fixed in their devotional service. Whereas you might see someone else, they're not doing that well. They're just kind of plodding along. But they keep on going. They don't go away from devotion. They don't really go very far, but they don't go away either. So it's the proverbial hare and tortoise analogy. It's better to be a steady tortoise than a lazy hare. The hare thinks, well, I'm doing so well, so I'll just sit down here and go to sleep. And later on I'll continue. But then he loses the race. It's an interesting story because the whole concept is, why would there ever be what's the plural of tortoise? Tortoises? And hares, they don't race. It's practically an absurd proposition to race a hare against a tortoise. Imagine having a tortoise, two tortoises racing against each other. Imagine the commentator trying to, and it's getting really, really exciting here. Pretty difficult to make an exciting commentary on it. Hares, yeah, you could. They have dog racing. They have dog racing in this country. Greyhounds, these dogs, they're bred for. Horse racing is very common. So they can run fast, so you could imagine it might be exciting. Personally, I never found it very exciting, but some people think it's interesting. But a tortoise, what's the meaning of it racing? It's just so slow. Anyway, the fable is there of the hare and the tortoise. One is going very fast. He's very, very capable of reaching the destination, the target destination very quickly. But he fails to do so due to overconfidence, laziness, thinking that he's already there when he's not there. Whereas the tortoise diligently plods along and makes it to the last point. So, what's better, to be another analogy, shooting star in Krishna consciousness, or a steady star, a hare or a tortoise. Shooting star means it flares very brightly for a short time, but then it's no longer seen, it vanishes. So, what's better, to keep on steadily or be really intense for a short time and then burn out? Well, what's the answer to this? So the answer is it's better to combine the good part of each that should be very intense but remain steady also. Krishna consciousness is intense. Actual Krishna consciousness means tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. One is enjoined to intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is actual devotional service. The half-hearted approach, or the, you can say, well, someone, at least they're coming, they're 20 years and they're still coming every Sunday and still they're doing something, although they're not that serious, or they're not that committed, but at least they're coming. Well, unless one commits oneself fully, one cannot really make much progress. If one keeps on coming, that's good. That's a lot better than not coming. But on the other hand, if we are coming and actually understanding what is the seriousness of Krishna consciousness, then we won't have a half-hearted approach. If we actually understand what Krishna consciousness is, then we will take it up very seriously. Then again, you may say, well, someone takes it up seriously, see, people take it up seriously, and they go away. Some of them, not all of them. So better just operate at your own capacity. Better don't go too fast, too hard. So there is some some weight in that argument, to just go at your own capacity. If we try to act on a level that we're not fit for, we are liable to fall down. Srila Prabhupada warned, don't try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, who would eat practically nothing. If we try to imitate that, because we are not anywhere near the level of consciousness, of absorption in Krishna consciousness of Raghunath Das Goswami, then just by ceasing to eat as he has done, that won't automatically bring us to the same level of consciousness. It will probably bring us, there are different levels of consciousness. The lowest is annamai, simply thinking of food. So by abstaining from food, if we're not on a high level of consciousness, we're likely to think of food. Or we may come to an even lower level of consciousness, which is unconsciousness. We may just faint from lack of food. If we don't have the spiritual absorption to sustain our body, then instead of being Krishna conscious, we'll be unconscious, taken to the hospital for malnutrition or non-nutrition. So it's not wise to try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, but it is wise to follow his example as far as we are capable of absorption in Krishna consciousness. So it requires some intelligent application of the principles of Krishna consciousness to understand how to follow without imitating. We have the Mahajans, our great personalities, who we are enjoined to follow. All the great acharyas, they are persons whose example we are enjoined to follow. Their example is one of intense Krishna consciousness. So if we say that, well, better relax a little bit and maybe have a little sports or a little watch the TV, don't be too Krishna conscious. Well, that's not following the path of the Mahajanas. Relaxation, maybe. Our relaxation may be, what relaxation? I don't know, actually. What do we sit and read Srila Prabhupada's books, or we discuss among devotees, Madchita Madgartha, Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Katiyanta Shaman Nityam, Tushyanti Charamanticha. This is a devotee's relaxation. With other devotees, the devotee discusses about Krishna. We don't go off the subject of Krishna, always centered on the subject of Krishna. So, it is good to be intense. That is required in Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavya najatu chit. Always thinking of Krishna without diverting the attention to any other subject. That is Krishna consciousness, and that is what we are aiming at in all our practice. Sarva vidhi nishedasya etiyar eva kinkaraha. All the practices that we take up in Krishna consciousness are meant to come to that level of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting Him. We may say that, well, if we try to do that and we're not really ready for it, and then we fall down. Better to take it easy, relax a little bit. You see that people fall down. Well, so what's the answer? To be fallen from the start. If you don't go up, you can't fall down. And that's how you can avoid fall down. Don't go up. But that's not the solution. We have to go up. The idea is to go up and up and up and up. And if you don't go up, you can't fall down. But then you don't go up either. And you don't attain the goal. Because the goal is up. The goal is not down. So even if one falls down, here Narad Muni states, you don't really fall down. He goes on to say that, just two verses later, Navajano jatu katanchana vrajin mukunda sevyam anyabad angasangsutim smaranda kumbam yopaguhanam punar vihata vichen narasangrahojana. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. In other words, a devotee who falls down doesn't really fall down at all. It's circumstantial or temporary. Because once he's tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, can never ultimately forget that. Whereas someone who's never really absorbed themselves in Krishna consciousness, they can never remember it because they've never had it. So, better to be intense. If one tries very hard in Krishna consciousness, then Maya tries to capture him more. That's one answer. Why sometimes we see that devotees are very serious in Krishna consciousness and apparently quite advanced, and they fall down, and then we think that, if that happened to him, then what about me? What chance do I have? But that is described, that is the action of Maya, who is very difficult to overcome. Devi yesha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya, Lord Krishna says. That my Maya is a divine energy consisting of the three modes of nature, which is very difficult to overcome. So Maya, or the illusory energy, has two principal phases. Avaranatmika vritti, which is the general covering potency. Everyone is covered by Maya. People don't know who they are. They don't know I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone is covered by Maya. But if someone tries to come out of Maya, then she has another phase of action, prakshepatmika vritti, which means the throwing potency. Someone's coming out and she throws him back. So that's Maya's duty to test if someone is serious in Krishna consciousness. And even if they are serious, Maya has many tricks. And Maya may divert a person, but if one divert a person who's seriously taken to Krishna consciousness, but if one has seriously taken to Krishna consciousness, then Neha Bhikramanasho Sti Pratyavayo Nevindyate Swapam Apyasya Dharmasya Chayate Mahatopaya. If one even makes a little progress on the path of Krishna consciousness, that the result of that, he's never bereft of that. He's never a loser. And actually in that verse in Bhagavad Gita, which I just quoted in the purport of that, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, which I read today. So, what is better in Krishna consciousness, to be like a hare or like a tortoise? Well, a hare who relaxes, that's not very good. A one who goes very slowly, that's not so good either. So better have the running speed of a hare and the determination and sense of a tortoise. In other words, run and keep on running. Don't stop. Keep on going to Krishna. Of course, people take to Krishna consciousness at different levels. It's as Srila Prabhupada describes, it's in the perfection of yoga, he describes that people who take to Krishna consciousness in this life, it's understood that they've taken to Krishna consciousness in previous lives also. They become attracted. That's described in Bhagavad Gita. Persons who are not successful, the yoga brashta, one who is not successful in yoga, he, again in his next life, he becomes attracted to that. So we see that some people take to Krishna consciousness and some don't. The message, the same message is preached to everyone. But some people take it up and some don't. Why is that? Because some people, they have an attraction from previous life. They've already been situated in Krishna consciousness to some degree or other, and if in a previous life, whereas others, they haven't, and therefore they don't take to Krishna consciousness. I don't take very seriously. So someone who takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, it can be understood that he had already made significant progress in a previous life. Whereas someone who takes it up, but not very seriously. You can understand, well, he had some contact with Krishna consciousness in a previous life, but maybe didn't progress so much. So, the hare and the tortoise, obviously they have different capacities. The hare can run very fast. The tortoise cannot. So some people, even in coming to Krishna consciousness, they have some, well, they're not so advanced from previous life. They may have various doubts or attachments. But anyway, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is very fortunate. And in whatever level one can do, one should take to Krishna consciousness. Of course, no one is inherently a hare or a tortoise. Inherently, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Everyone inherently can be fully Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say that we can surrender to Krishna in a moment, but we don't. And there is a process of sadhana bhakti, following rules and regulations. Because it's understood that most people, even though we can surrender to Krishna immediately, for most people, we find it very difficult to do so because we have so many material attachments and doubts. So the process is there for gradual purification. And one who is advanced, probably from a previous life, they may take up the process of purification with great zest in enthusiasm, or someone else, they may take it up somewhat half-heartedly, but anyone who takes it up is very fortunate. To take it up half-heartedly is less fortunate, or less intelligent. Because if we understand what Krishna consciousness is, if we can get some understanding, then definitely we'll want to take it up very seriously. If we understand that we are eternal servants of Krishna, there's nothing for us to do, there's nothing outside our self-interest but surrender to Krishna, then certainly we'll want to take it very seriously. But then, even if someone doesn't take it very seriously, but they take it up, they like chanting, they like prasada, they may like even to discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they don't implement it in their lives so very seriously. But still, they're better situated than someone who has no attraction toward Krishna. So anyone's effort in any way one goes toward Krishna, that is to be lauded. That is very good. It's very good if anyone is taking up Krishna consciousness at any level. If we see someone's coming newly, they're just coming 3 or 4 times, and then we may ask them, well, are you chanting Hare Krishna now? We say, oh yeah, I'm chanting 1 round a day. We say, very good. But if after 20 years of coming, we ask them, so what level are you on? I'm chanting 1 round a day. What happened? You're still coming, but you never got the inspiration to go further. So it never really happened. Still, chanting 1 round a day, that's good. We encourage everyone, please come. Please come here to the temple at least once a week. If you can't come more often, or at least come on the major festivals, keep on coming, keep contact with Krishna. When you go home, go on chanting, see what service you can do. Somehow or other, if people engage in Krishna consciousness, that is for their benefit. But on the other hand, if we understand what Krishna consciousness is, why not take to it very fully, and very seriously? So everyone should take to Krishna consciousness, whether one is a hare or a tortoise, whatever one's capacity is, or one's level of inspiration or enthusiasm. One should aim at the goal and keep on going. If one has much enthusiasm, that's very good. But keep on going. Don't go to sleep on the way like the tortoise. And if one is very slow starting, maybe various impediments, but one should try to speed up. It's not good to be slow all one's life. I mean, there has to come some. We all have to remember that at the time of death, whatever we've done, sadhan kara mata kara. So, sadhan kara bhajan kara mate janleho. Srila Prabhupada would quote this, that at the time of death, all our activities in Krishna consciousness, that will all be seen, that will all be tested. So, it's coming very soon. For all of us, tick, 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 the clock is ticking on. And it'll come one day when the cuckoo will come out and say, okay, 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 time's up, time for you to go. Then we may make many excuses in our lifetime that, well, I couldn't take to Krishna. I couldn't do it because of this or because of that. Or they may sound like very good excuses, but they won't help us at the time of death. So Krishna consciousness is very serious, and at the same time we find people take to it at different levels. We should either get stuck and complete go or go so slowly that we don't reach the goal at all. Nor should we run very fast and then say, okay, that's enough for now. Keep on going. Some people will go faster than others. You shouldn't be envious of those who go faster. That's a mundane response. We should be very happy to see some devotees are going very quickly. We may desire to go quickly, but then we find ourselves held back by our own incapability. We may have the inspiration, I want to go quickly in Krishna consciousness, but then we find we have so much clutter in our minds, residual bad thoughts that remain in our consciousness due to past bad association and bad actions. But anyway, we should keep on trying very seriously. That is the meaning of sincerity. The point is everyone should be very sincere. People come at different levels, but everyone should be very sincere to ultimately reach the goal. Don't get stuck, or don't think, well, I'm doing so well, I don't need to try anymore. One has to keep on going, cultivating the qualities of humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke of this, that if one thinks, well, I'm going so great, so now I'll take rest. Or, I'm doing so well in Krishna consciousness, so anyway, I'm sure to be Krishna conscious, so no need to, now I'll take a little break. No. One shouldn't think, I'm doing very well, I'm so much better than others. So sincerity means to keep on trying to advance. Even if one, sometimes devotees become disappointed, like I said, they say, well, someone was going so well and he went away, then what hope is there for me? But disappointment is, that is not good. That actually means a lack of faith in Krishna and the process. That even if we see some go away, we shouldn't be disappointed and think that, well, Krishna consciousness doesn't work. It does work. And even if we see someone who is doing well has gone away, we shouldn't think that negates value of Krishna consciousness, or rather, it proves that even if one is, it proves the statements of Shastra, that if someone's maybe doing very well, but if they cease to follow the process properly, then they fall away from it. But that falling again, we have to understand, that is not actually falling. Krishna keeps his eye on them. If someone comes under the shelter of Krishna, then Krishna, even though that person may fall away from Krishna consciousness, but Krishna doesn't let them go. If anyone has made any sincere advancement toward Krishna, then Krishna doesn't let them go. And if you think, well, I've been very sincere, okay, now I can enjoy the material world and Krishna will look after me. Well, that's not sincerity. So one shouldn't not try. Everyone should try. Even if we think I'm going very fast, we can try harder. Don't go so fast that we trip over. That's another thing. Again, we have to see what is our capacity. But everyone should try very seriously in Krishna consciousness with full faith that this is in my ultimate good, and there's no ultimate good in anything else that we may do other than surrendering to Krishna. Surrendering means our thoughts, our words, our activities. Yaha yasya harer dasya karmana manasa gira nikilashva pyavastasu jivan mukta suvachate. Our thoughts, our words, our activities, everything should be offered in the service of Krishna. Such a person is considered liberated, even in this life. So even if such a person apparently has some difficulty or falls down, such a person is protected by Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shall I take a question or two or not? All right. Yeah. So if there are any questions about this, kindly ask. Yes. You have a question, or that's from your own personal question? Okay. The question is, non-devotees sometimes seem better than devotees. Well, I was making that comment saying that sometimes we hear devotees say that, but I negated that, saying that they cannot be better, even though they, it may seem that in some ways certain non-devotees behave better than certain devotees. But the very fact that a non-devotee's activities are not in relation with Krishna, it's like multiplying everything by zero. Let's take a big number here. 50 trillion. It's a big number, isn't it? How many zeros are to a trillion? Well, nine, is it? Nine zeros after one trillion means one. Maybe different. It may be different in England and America. I know a British billion is 10 times more than an American billion. Anyway, whatever. If you take a big number and multiply it by zero, it all becomes zero. However big the number is. Whereas if you have one and you multiply it by one, it's still one, but it's still one. It's something substantial. So, in Krishna consciousness, someone who's centered on the One, who is Krishna, even though he may appear in so many ways to be lacking, but that is his one qualification, that his activities are centered on Krishna. Whereas a non-devotee, they may have many apparent qualities. Harava bhaktasya kato mahanguna. What is that? Kato manorate nasti davato me. But he may, someone may appear to have great qualities, but if he's not a devotee of Krishna, then they're not actually good qualities, because it's not a quality of the soul. It's just on the mental platform. It's nothing. It has no real substance. So that was the point I was making. What about those who look like devotees but they're not centered on the goal?
They look at devotees but they behave as non-devotees. So they seem like devotees of the people.
They look like devotees but they don't behave like devotees. But if you observe their behavior, it's not according to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Could you give an example of how their behavior is not according to the Krishna? They come to the temple and they dress as a devotee, but they're not devotees. Well, even some modicum of Krishna consciousness, even some connection with Krishna, it's always auspicious. There may be people, what is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, Galai Mala Nakai Tilak Shonge Ek Porya Bala. He has a tilak on his nose and beads on his neck, and he's going around with someone else's wife. A Kaliya Chela is not a devotee, it's a disciple of Kali Yuga. So, it may be someone's a complete fraud. That can be. That's possible. They're taking the position of a devotee to exploit others. That's possible. But on the other hand, even if someone has some attachment to Krishna, that can be for their benefit. Srila Prabhupada told the story of someone who he was a thief, and he heard about the baby Krishna having lots of valuable jewels. So he wanted to find out where is Krishna, so he could rob everything from him. His child running around should be easy to rob everything from him. So he heard, where is that Krishna? He asked people, oh, he lives in Vrindavan. So he's going, where is Krishna? I want to find Krishna. He's in Vrindavan. So he was going to Vrindavan. where's Vrindavan? I want to go to Vrindavan and find Krishna. So thinking like that, he went to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna. Krishna showed himself to him. But by that time, by thinking, I want to find Krishna, he became so purified that he was attracted to Krishna and not to the jewels on Krishna. Something like Dhruva Maharaj's story. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna nishaveyat. Somehow or other, the mind should come into Krishna consciousness. So if someone's totally bogus, they may be using that the role of a devotee. It's not so easy in the Western countries to use the role of a devotee to exploit others. It's possible, but... See, the thing is, in the society that Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived in, is a very religious society in which, by taking the role of a religious person, it was easy to cheat simple-minded people. So that was quite common, that people would dress as a saintly person in order to gain their respect and donations and exploit them. It's not so easy in the Western world at the present time to do that. Yeah, so, anything else? If not, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, just in time, before we got on to Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, what's your question?
Can you explain what does it mean devotees advance fast, quickly, and if one goes slowly?
What does it mean to advance quickly or slowly?
Yeah, in practical life.
In practical life. Well, that's manifest in one's activities, isn't it? If we see that someone is very enthusiastic to serve Krishna, they're very serious to advance, they only want to talk about Krishna, they don't want to waste time in mundane activities, that means they're serious to advance, isn't it? Whereas if someone is... Yeah, okay, all right, little kirtan, that's nice, especially if someone's singing very nicely, and all right, okay, that's good. And just like I've heard, I don't have practical experience of this, but I've heard sometimes devotees they'll come to the temple on Sunday and talk with each other about a football match. I've heard that such things do happen. So that means they're not very serious to advance, isn't it? I mean, it's not that difficult to understand what the difference is. And it may be that the one who's serious to advance is also, you know, has some attachment to the football, but he doesn't cultivate that. He doesn't deliberately cultivate that. What is the difference between a serious devotee who has many mature attachments and one who is a false devotee? It's a difference in outlook and motivation. Again, one who wants to advance but has many material attachments or contaminations, they're serious. They want to advance. The inner motivation is that I want to advance in Krishna consciousness, even if they're hampered by various material attachments and bad habits. Whereas a false devotee means one who takes the role of a devotee with the deliberate intent to make some material gain by posing as a devotee. And that example I gave in the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was quite common enough that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote songs about it, that people would pose themselves as devotees to, for instance, exploit other people's wives. That kind of thing is still going on in India. There's recently in South India, there's one charlatan by the name of Nityananda. Good name, but a bad person who uses that name, who in a group... he was in some school and there were young women, and he said, well, I don't see any difference between men and women. For me, it's all the same. So all the girls, they can all come and dance with me. The rascal. He was using the language of spiritual advancement to mislead young girls and engage in sense gratificatory activities with them. So that's rascal. Whereas this serious devotee who's hampered by material attraction, he may also be attracted to the young girls. And that attraction may hinder his efforts to fix his mind on Krishna. But he doesn't go and deliberately dance with the young girls or make up some bogus philosophy to substantiate his engaging in illicit activities. And even if he does, he might get into chatting with the girls or something like that in an Maya can be very tricky. See, a devotee for the sake of service, he may start talking to, or she may start talking to a man, or he may start talking to him for the sake of Krishna's service. But Maya is so tricky that attraction may develop. And then he becomes victimized. But then if he becomes victimized, he doesn't say that, well, it's all my leela or some such thing. He says that it's, I became victimized by Maya. He's honest enough to admit that. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.